Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's go. Yes, sir.
You know the signature again. We are just cruising right along in 2021. Welcome again, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are excited to bring you another jam-packed show, if you will. Before we do that, we want to just throw out some prayers to Gary, to our co-host and his family, his father. I know he's in the hospital, kind of a surprise thing, emergency room, so I'm going to send out some prayers to him, his family. And same thing we did for you, Curtis, last week too, man. So it's good to have you back as well, Curtis. And so again, you know, way to stay strong. Even though we can't see your amazing face, man, it's good that you're on the podcast as always, man. So again, let you get your piece in. So just want to welcome you back again as always, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Good deal. Good deal. Before we get started, we have a lot to talk about. I want to keep our energy up and stay excited to get this started. As you can probably see in the background, I'm in Charlotte this week. So, again, it's fun times. I like to travel and kind of keep you guys on your toes. Let's check in. Jake, I see you representing the Ravens. You are a you?
Big time. I'm living in two cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, right?
Atlanta, Charlotte.
I'm not like Brazil, like Rob. That's one of the conversation, but it's all good.
Yeah, no, man. I figured, you know, after I watched the inauguration, a little concert they had, which, you know, shout out to Harrison Biden for that. That was really awesome. They put on YouTube today. So, you know, they had a whole lot of HBCU love happening on there. So I figured I'd go with the wave and go, you know, go with my Rottler gear today. How y'all doing?
Nice. Fantastic, man.
Got that FAMU going, huh?
I was trying to get to our Instagram page so we could actually snag that so eventually you can see some shots of us, man. So I'm still – there's not an accurate first 12th man because it's a lot of copyright. So we got to get that, man. So once we get that, I want to see some posters and uniforms and be creative as well, man. So stay tuned for that. That's a whole other conversation, but good deal. Some ESPN – going off. Is that Rob?
Bring her to the Blue Jays.
Ah, George Springer to the Blue Jays.
Wow. There it is. Yep. We all said at the same time. Like, boop, boop, boop. Everyone. Yeah. That's breaking news on the show, too. So let's get this part started.
Oh, what's going on with the Astros?
You know what's going on with the Astros. Deuces.
Oh, man.
They're not stealing no more signs, huh?
Yeah. They're trying to get as far away from that stitch as possible, baby. They are like, we are out.
Oh, man. I'm checking in, Rob. What's up, man? How you feeling?
Feeling great, man. You know, I got the asparagus in twice today. Got it in lunch. Got it in dinner. Pea stinking, you know. But that's expected when you have asparagus. Feeling good.
All right, I guess that's how we got to this. Curtis, man, sir.
Well, hey, you guys, I'm trying to. I remember,
ooh,
and this weekend was the third time that if a team in the same division has beaten that team twice, and now they got to play them in the playoff in that same calendar year. This is the third time that I have won money because I've always felt, I have not seen it, but people tell me that it has happened. But I've seen, this was the third time I've seen it, where you cannot beat an NFL team three times in one season. You just can't.
Hard. Hard.
It's too much.
Hard.
Yeah.
You had to bring it up again, Curtis.
Yeah. This is the third time I've seen that.
We're supposed to ease into that topic, man.
2 feet right in. Flash.
I asked Curtis how he's feeling. Well, you know, it's been the last time the third. I'm like, whoa.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Curtis jumped right in on that one, but that's exactly.
Yeah, I like money. I like money.
Well, that's that.
Especially free money, right?
Oh my goodness! Invest in 401k free money. No, again, let's throw out these numbers really quickly before we get the show started, because Curtis is really ready to go really quickly and call on the show the same number, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on the Twitter, which is at number 12, THMAN Sports. And follow us on Facebook again, man. Shout out to Rob for putting the mock draft. I know that it's been a really good mock draft. Rob's got some trades, has some interesting moves in that he has the Jets not taking a quarterback, so that's pretty interesting, too. I can't wait to talk about that. He posted two mocks again. We posted the first round as well. Rob, appreciate you for not diving into that as well. So without further ado, let's jump into topic number one, because I want to talk about that. Also, Rob, not sure why you didn't want to show any love to the Falcons. You guys lost your carry coming to the Falcons. Hired by the Falcons, and there's a lot of interesting things I want to talk about that, because listen to this press conference, and they're all a lot of love to Terry, but then I'm kind of philosophy. Fantastic. I thought with Arthur Smith, you would take the Panay Sewell, but that may go to the third pick. So we'll talk about that later, but it's just a good thing. I had to get that topic in there because it's a lot of fun. It's been a pretty interesting week, if you will, too. But let's kind of rip that Band-Aid off, Rob, and talk about your boy and Curtis's favorite player, Tom Brady, and how long will he play, I guess, is the question. Because it looks like, again, he's getting that little fountain of youth. So I'm going to start with you, Rob, JQ, and Curtis, how we always do. So what say you?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that he's at least going to play one more year. I think he definitely comes back next year. And what you've been able to see in the last few 5-6 weeks, he's been able to get the ball downfield. And so I definitely think, obviously he signed a 2-year deal with the Bucks. So I think it's pretty obvious that I think he's going to come back next year. But I think that's going to be it for him. I think he finishes off this season, whether they win this week or they lose this week or they continue to play on. I think he definitely comes back next season, and I think that's going to be it. I think he's going to hang it up after next season and call it a wrap. So I think it's definitely it. And, I know he feels like another year, and obviously they're starting to gel here toward the end of the year, and he kind of feels like having another year that could be even better, too, going into next season with the talented group of wide receivers and tight ends he has. And he's starting to run the ball a little bit better than they were early in the year, too, with Leonard Fournette, Purple Knight and LSU guy. And I think next year he comes back and that's a wrap.
I was going to throw that in there. I knew that was coming. He ain't even going to talk about Ronald Jones. Like, he ain't in the backfield. That dude is starting. He ain't even getting no love from
Ronald.
Gosh.
Ronald Jones ain't started the last few weeks. Who's been the guy that just
He's the starter. He got hurt, so they're trying to ease him back into it. But I'm just harassing you. I don't think, that dude is thick as 8 days older than me. And I know how I feel. 43, he's going to be 44 here at the end of August, beginning of August. So he'll be 44 going into next year's, training camp, being in preseason. I think next year is the drop-down dead date. But, if they, by some miracle, go be the first team to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium and win it, can you ask for a better send-off? than that? Like, do you mess with that storybook ending if you're Tom Brady and just say, you know what, I know I said 44-45, I'm going to try to repeat, or do you just say, you know what, take his glory? You know what, that'd be the number seven for him? That'd be the seventh Super Bowl, right? You know, the winning your home stadium, which has never been done, bringing Gronk out of retirement to play with you and getting him another one. I think they're going to pass, you know, break that tie with Montana and Rice for, I think, a playoff touchdown passes. So it's a whole lot working to me that, you know, if they finish off this script that they're currently on, where he might just say, you know what, I said that, but do I want to come back and get beat up and have something crazy happen to Drew Brees and we go 8-8 and I could have walked out a champion where I came back and stayed a year too long? So I'm with you, Rob. If they don't win, he definitely comes back. But if they win it, I don't want to see that. Don't get me wrong. I can see him saying, you know what, it's probably the best way to go out on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm with JQ with that. I think if they get to the Super Bowl and they actually play Kansas City and he wins it, like there's so many things there. There's that in his home stadium, Bruce Arian, and the receiver with all the trouble he carries. If he becomes a Super Bowl champ, a lot of those troubles will go away for him. I think if Brady's smart and they win it and they win the Super Bowl, I think it's just the smartest thing for him to do, to say, I got seven. I got one in my home stadium. I love you, Florida. I'm out. You can't write a better story than this. And just live the good life. But if they don't win it and he doesn't get past Green Bay or Kansas City, I think he does come back and try to do it. I think he comes back for one more to give it that last good, let's get it. And those are the two scenarios I got.
We know who you're picking for the AFC Championship game.
Get right over to that. Hey, hey, Rob, so did Tom Brady deserve praise or did Drew Brees deserve a little blame? So, Rob, talk about that. And again, a lot of, you know, Drew probably played his last game as a Saint. If you're kind of hearing all the reports, Rob, so I'll let you kind of speak to that as well. So go ahead, sir.
Well, I think it obviously is a little bit. I think it's always a little bit of both, but I think it's more Drew Brees deserves the blame than Tom Brady deserves the praise. Because you really look at it,
right.
And in that game, the Saints defense really played pretty well. I mean, not perfect, but it did play pretty well. But the Saints offense gave up 21 points, three turnovers, led to three touchdowns. And if you go back and look at that game, you know, the Saints was up 20-13, had a nice drive going in the third quarter. And Jared Cook fumbles the ball, and the rest is history. you figure they score at least 3 points or maybe a touchdown on that drive, but the turnovers really it really did the Saints in that game. And so you got to get Jared Cook and Drew Brees. They deserve more to blame than Brady deserves the praise. He didn't turn the ball over, so you got to give Brady credit. The first two times they played this year, the Saints put pressure on them. They were able to force him into turnovers. They weren't able to create that, so he didn't turn the ball over, so he deserves obviously some credit. But I think more to blame would have to go to Drew Brees and the Saints offense with the 3-4 turnovers and three of them leading 21 points. Obviously the difference in the football game.
Yeah, and you brought it up, and I was on point to that one because of that drive. It was a momentum killer. That Jared Cook and that fumble, you just can't run with that ball like that over the middle, bro. Like, they practicing that nowadays. Ever since Peanut Tillman and that punch move, they all looking to do it when you catch that ball on them in front, in the middle especially. But I'm with you, though. You can't do that if you Drew Brees. He just don't look like he has a zip. And, you know, him coming out and – you know, hugging Tom Brady and Tom Brady throwing a touchdown pass to his kid in the end zone. I was like, oh, that dude's gone to NBC. I hate to see him go out like that. He did a lot for the Saints. He's a Hall of Famer in my book. But, yeah, he deserves more. And Tom Brady got lucky because that one, that dude just missed getting that other toe in on that interception, and they overruled it and gave it back to Tampa. But you know, sometimes you get breaks like that in the game, and Drew just, you know, it's hard to overcome. You know, you can overcome one and say, oh, you know, me and Kamara are on the wrong page on that one, but you can't have three. And then you can't have Cook fumbling in the middle on the drive. That's just a drive killer. It wasn't like they were getting ready to punt. Like, they were on the move on that drive. So, I'm with you, Rob. Yeah, you know,
that was the
turnover
in the game.
It was. And that's always generally what happens in the playoffs. You know, like you talk about in Baltimore, in Buffalo. Baltimore's driving the ball in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Pick six by Lamar. Game over. You can't turn the ball over. It's magnified and win or go home. You can't turn that ball over in the playoffs. And they did both of those teams in.
Mm-hmm.
And did you watch where those fumbles were? It left Tampa Bay with the short field.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those turnovers gave them the short field to the end zone. Kill you.
Yeah.
Kill you. You gave them the short field. They
that
didn't have to drive
fumble 80 was a
yards.
Turning point of the game.
Yeah, they didn't have to drive 10-minute drives. They had short fields to destroy. But I go back to what I said at the beginning. I've seen this three times, and I've won money on this. I think that's pro football. How are you going to beat me? If you're a pro football player and you got any kind of pride, I don't think you let another football team beat you. I mean, these are good football teams that make it to the playoffs. So, I mean, it's not like a sorry team that got beat three times. This is a playoff team. And you're going to beat me three times in this one year? Not going to happen.
It's happened more times than not, though, actually, when you look at the history of it. The team that has sweeped the team has won, actually, over 60% of the time. It just didn't work out in the Saints' favor this past weekend, obviously.
Three turnovers are tough to come, like Rob said. Like I said, I think I've talked about this before, too, as far as, like, there's a matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was a good matchup back in the days of the late, great Steve McNair. And you talked to Eddie George. And then you go Ohio State step, represent for you, Jake. Frank Wycheck, they would have Jaguars number. That's never a quarterback. I always remember that because they used to always, like, three times, they just have their number, you know. So it's just certain teams match up well and just know how to, you know, against play that staff. And they're trying to pull out all the stops, and they just, they're like, psychologically, like, I got this, you know. So it's just another thing to put in as well. We're moving right along here. About some good time here. Let's talk championship weekend. There's a lot of great games in addition to, you know, obviously the Saints and the Buccaneers, but then you also had a great game between, you know, the Chiefs and the Cleveland. Cleveland got some late momentum. You know, Patrick Mahomes gets that concussion. Ted Haney comes in, makes a great play. And then, you know, it's kind of touch and go too, but you talk about a great, great game, if you will. And now you have a very interesting matchup between the Bucks at the Packers in Lambeau Field. Should play that little sound bite. And the Bills at the Chiefs. This is a pretty good matchup here. So we'll start with the Bucks at the Packers, Rob. Tell us your thoughts about this one, and then we'll go around the room again.
Well, I like the Packers in this game. I mean, obviously, the Bucks have been able to go on the road and win two games here in a row here over the last couple of weeks. But I think the Packers, Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur just got to seem like a great thing going right now. I think it's going to be a good football game, but I like Green Bay in this one. I'm going to go 34-28 with Green Bay winning at home. I think they're going to be tough to stop. And, you know, obviously Tampa Bay defensively did a phenomenal job this past weekend. But obviously, Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to push the ball down the field. They won't be able to play that same kind of style against the Packers. And they're going to have the play action game going. They're going to have to be able to mix in the running the pass a little bit. And 24 degrees, I mean, I know Brady's played in the cold before, but I just think the Packers are the better team right now.
Yeah, you know, and I think Aaron's got
support them in the regular season.
And I think Aaron Rodgers learned from that, because if you remember that game, the Packers were up in that game. I think he did like 10-0, and then he threw that pick six. They got the ball back, and he threw another pick six and they totally changed the complexion of that game, and Tampa just took off on them down there in Tampa. I don't think you do that to Aaron Rodgers again. I think he had the game in the regular season that against them that Breeze had on Sunday, and I just don't think he's going to do it again twice. And the thing about the Packers as well, you know, you talk about them moving the way they move Devontae Adams around. You can't, you know, it's hard to shadow him with one guy because they move him around so much and you give LaFleur a lot of credit. That Packers team can run the football. Aaron Jones and Dylan have been running the ball. And if they get that running game going, you have to bring that safety up and worry about it. And Aaron is one of the best play-action passers in the game, maybe ever. And he can, you know, hit Devontae or Lazard going deep past you. Now it's like pick your poison, and you're stuck as a defense. So I'm with you. I just don't see that happening to Aaron Rodgers again. I think I take the Pack 35-31.
I'm going, man, I think this is going to be one hell of a game. But the first thing I'm wondering is what that weather is going to be about. If that weather favors Green Bay, it might be worse.
And snow.
And if it is, you know, that's not going to be a good thing. Tampa Bay's got to stop them from running. If they can stop that run and make Green Bay one-dimensional, they can win that game. And the other thing I'm scared about with Green Bay, Green Bay has not been a real good second-half team. And when you make good adjustments on Green Bay in the second half, they can be had. They're kind of a front-running team. And they kind of beat you in that first half and hold on. And I don't think they're going to be able to afford that in this championship game. They better keep the pedal on the metal in that second half. And if they don't, they will be beat. I'm going to pick Tampa Bay to win 28-24.
But I knew you were going to pick your boy, Tom Brady. Yeah, I know you got a secret love
Curtis
affair
likes
with him.
Money. Curtis likes money. That's why you picked that one. No,
see them in the second half of that game. They might be able to be had.
Packers are making a commitment to run the ball. So that's something that you just know you're gonna get a healthy dose of Adam Jones, and like you said, JQ, that makes even Aaron Rodgers even more dangerous. You know, as you can tell, so he's had a little resurgence. They've played with really good confidence, so I kind of agree with everyone else. I think it's gonna be the Green Bay Packers representing in the NFC for the Super Bowl, if you will. Let's talk about the.
Now the Bucs do have the number one run defense in the NFL, so that is one thing they do have going for them. But we'll see. I still like the Packers though too.
Yeah, I just think that there's a lot of play action. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of weapons, man. So it's going to be interesting to see how that commitment to the run is going to definitely open up some things too. So it's going to be a good game, 100%. I think everyone's.
And Devontae Adams is unguardable.
He wasn't throwing the ball, and he still gets open. It's ridiculous.
He is unguardable.
It's not like he's throwing. It's not like he's throwing him open on these plays. Devontae Adams is open all on his own. You're like, how is Devontae Adams out here by himself?
You know what's going to him?
He wants to go.
You know what's going to him? He still gets there. Yeah, like you said, Rob. You know what's going to him? Like how double him? He still gets the ball. Still gets open. Let's talk about the next squad. We got to talk about the next game here. We have the Bills at the Chiefs. We talked a little bit about the Chiefs earlier, what's happening with Patrick Mahomes, so hopefully he's going to get out of the concussion protocol in time. We're assuming that's going to happen. But again, if you're a Bills fan, it's kind of interesting because, you know, Josh Allen, you know, Stephon Diggs has been playing extremely well too, man. What a great performance for him as well. And they're really special, like we talked about too. But do you think the Bills have a chance, JQ? And if they do go, you kind of have that back of your gut as far as, you know, can Bills match up against either the Packers or the Bucs, you know, because you don't want them having that, you know, another fifth Super Bowl defeat, man. So it's kind of like you have some history on your side, but then you also have this interesting dynamic
as well as far as what's happening to Patrick Mahomes. Is he going to be able to play his best? Because if he's a little off, you know, again, that could definitely affect the Chiefs as well. So we'll go ahead on that.
Man, it's so hard just because of that, right? Like, you got two really good high-powered offenses, and I feel like, you know, I keep picking against the Bills. They probably – well, I picked them to beat the Colts. But I don't know, like, you know, the disrespect card they're still playing because nobody's giving them a chance. And you hit on it. Allen and Diggs just have a crazy rapport going on right now, and it's close to it. And I say almost blasphemous and almost a little better than what Rodgers and Devontae Adams have happening right now. Like, they just are extremely locked in with each other. The thing that worries me about Buffalo is the fact that, one, they did a better job against the run against Baltimore, but if you look at the numbers on the whole season, they weren't really good against the run. And I worry about them being able to run the ball. Is Devin Singletary enough instead of, you know, having to push Josh Allen in harm's way? Because you saw what happened to Patrick Mahomes when you put him in harm's way. He got a concussion. How much do the Bills do that to Josh Allen? You have no Zach Moss, and now you're relying on Devin Singletary. I think that piece of it, to me, is the weak link. Even if, you know, the Chiefs don't get Clyde Harris a running back, but Williams played really well for them, and they still got Le'Veon as well. So, I mean, he's not the Le'Veon as the – oh, geez. He's not the same Le'Veon as, you know, before, but he's so effective. I just have a hard time picking against that Kansas City offense because every time you saw last year in the playoffs, they continually got down in playoff games and continually found a way to come back when they needed to make a play. They found a way to make a play. They just catch up to Josh Allen at this point where, you know, he's still a young quarterback. Does the stage get too big for him? Does he make one more mistake than Patrick Mahomes will make? You know, and this is all predicated on Patrick Mahomes playing. So I'm going back to Super Bowl I. Chiefs Packers.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. There it is.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you the Chiefs are the team that I'm pulling for out of all the teams that are left. So I would definitely love to see the Chiefs pull it out and win another one. But I'm a little worried about this game for the Chiefs. And to me, it's really hard to make this prediction on a Tuesday. I would much rather be making this prediction on Sunday morning, not today.
Right.
But if I'm predicting this game on a Tuesday night when not knowing totally about Patrick Mahomes' practice situation this week and how much preparation he's going to be able to get in for this game, I mean, obviously, I'm sure he's going to be able to get the film work in, but how much practice work he's going to be able to get in, you know, that's all up in the air. I'm picking the upset. I'm picking Buffalo to go on the road and beat Kansas City. Buffalo has been playing outstanding football all season. They've won 11 out of last 12. And trust me, I want the Chiefs to win. But it's just hard for me to make this prediction. If I had to make this prediction tonight, I'm going to go with Buffalo with an upset. You know, they don't stop the Chiefs, but they will slow them down just enough for their defense. And I think they'll be able to put up just enough points or more than Kansas City as well. So I'm going to go with a 28-27 one-point victory Buffalo on the road. And we have a Bills-Packers Super Bowl. Now, from Sunday morning, I'm going to have a change of mind, but that's what I'm going with tonight.
I mean, that's a smart pick. I get it.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not worried about his protocol. I think he comes out of there with flying colors. And we just talked about somebody that is always open. It always seems like Kelce is always open also with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Patrick Mahomes comes out of that protocol with flying colors. I think they get ready. And I think they're looking at being the first back-to-back Super Bowl winners since the 2003-2004 Patriots. So, and man, you're talking about a legacy for Mahomes. You're talking about a legacy for the coach. You're talking a legacy for that town of Kansas City. Great football fans there. Great barbecue there.
Yes, they do.
I think they go 31. Well, the other thing I don't like about Buffalo, and you guys can tell me I'm wrong, Buffalo does not run the football. And if they can't run the football, they can't kill the clock. And if they can't kill clock on Kansas City.
Kills Josh Allen, too.
And you better not get in a shootout with them. If you get in a shootout with Kansas City, you lose.
Yep.
They can't run the football. I don't see, because of that, I don't see them having any chance of beating Kansas City. So,
and without Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't think Kansas City is going to be that great running the football either. I mean, I think both teams are getting just enough, but I don't think they're going to be that much better as far as running the football either. You know, the beautiful thing about Darren Williams, I watched him at LSU, you know, big back. If you need 1 yard, he's going to get you three. If you need 5 yards, he's going to get you three.
He needs three.
He's always going to get three. Regardless of.
Robert, wait for that one.
And,
3 yards.
It's not much more.
Yeah. 3 yards.
He's not going to be able to get you much more.
Say what?
I said 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
Big Ten football.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff, Chris. Good stuff, guys. All right, good stuff.
But
Rob,
I think what's going to happen is I do think Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I'm just worried about the preparation during the week. I think that's really what I guess my concern is. And, you know, like I said, you know, if I had to make the prediction on Saturday and Sunday, I'd probably be a little bit more confident. You know, they don't start really practicing until tomorrow. But, you know, that's what I'm really more worried about is the preparation time.
Good call. So really quickly, guys, who do you think will make the best Super Bowl matchup? Let's go around the horn, Rob, JQ, and Curtis.
Well, I think the best Super Bowl matchup will be the Chiefs and the Packers. There's no doubt about it. Patrick Mahomes against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you talk about the best Super Bowl matchup, that is the best Super Bowl. I know some people may say Tom Brady against Patrick Mahomes, but I'm all season long, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers have been the best two quarterbacks in the league. So to me, for my money, that would be the most entertaining Super Bowl to watch. And to me, would be the best Super Bowl if the Kansas City is able to pull that out. That would be the most entertaining Super Bowl. Out of the teams that's left, that's really what I would like to see.
I would tell you, I think it's Kansas City against whoever wins the NFC Championship game. Because to your point, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, I think they're going to finish 1-2 in the MVP conversation. So in terms of just natural gunslingers, those two are just natural just gunslingers, can make every throw look effortlessly, do crazy stuff to it, you know, side on three quarters, you know, make a defender look stupid by pump faking like Aaron Rodgers did, because I've seen Patrick Mahomes pull that play out of his arsenal as well. So from my standpoint, like I said, that's why I picked it. I would love to see that. But come on, man. You know, some of the people up in the New York offices for the NFL would love to do this whole passing of the guard game. You got 43-year-old, you know, Tom Brady against the young gun. You got the old dude going out and the young dude coming to take his place. They will play that narrative to the hilt for two straight weeks, and you will make you sick to your stomach to hear it. They will play it up so much. So if I'm talking about from the NFL's perspective in terms of the marketing way that they would use, not that they couldn't market Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes because they could. But anytime you can insert for them, in their mind, Tom Brady into that conversation, they're like, yeah, sign me up every day and twice on Sunday. So that's why I say for them, they can't really lose. As long as Kansas City makes it on the AFC side, they're golden.
I want to say that, no, I've been lucky enough to see different games and different spots of the country. And I've seen where, like in Seattle, if the Pittsburgh Pirates are in Seattle, there's going to be more Pittsburgh Steelers are in Seattle. There'll be more Pittsburgh Steelers fans in that stadium than Seattle fans. And I believe the same thing is true for the Green Bay Packers. Those are the two best travel teams in the National Football League, Pittsburgh and Green Bay. And a lot of stadiums, especially out here out west, when they come to town, and like if they come to play the Chargers, there'll be more Green Bay Packer fans or Pittsburgh Steelers fans than L.A. fans at Charger Stadium. So you can't go wrong with any of the teams that come out of the National League. But we definitely need Kansas City in there. And that number, that will be a big viewer number.
Good call. All right, Rob, let's give you some love here. I know we could talk about, you know, what's happening, Ravens waving RG3. But I do want to talk about the mock draft, Rob. So we'll let you kind of highlight that. Get your thoughts in. I know you have some interesting news, a couple of trades, little things like that. Let's get it in, Rob, and then we're going to talk about Spanish shout-outs. But we got about 11:35 there, so get all these topics in. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, first two-round mock of the draft here coming up. And obviously no changes with Jacksonville, with Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, second round, they got Jacksonville picking up Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle. So not only do you get the quarterback, but you get somebody to protect him as well. And they got him taking the defensive tackle from Washington, Levi on Orzitski, the defensive tackle. So that's Jacksonville, three picks in the first two rounds there. The Jets, you mentioned it, you know. There's more and more sentiment in the organization as to Robert Saleh wants to give it a shot with Sam Darnold. So we'll see if that takes place. But I got him getting Sam Darnold some help here. Devonta Smith at the number two overall pick in the draft. And then, coming back at number 23 overall, getting Samuel Cosmi, tackle from Texas. So, once again, they get Darnold some help. They get the wide receiver. They get a weapon for him. Because you look at that wide receiver core that he's got in New York right now, it's a straight-up future, right? And so now you get him a weapon. You get him a tackle as well. And then you come back. And Robert Saleh gets one of the better middle linebackers in the draft, and Nick Bolton, linebacker from Missouri, in the second round there. So that's a little bit about the Jets there. Miami, obviously, more and more looks like they're going with Tua. So you get Tua some help as well. You get Penei Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon. Falcons,
I'm
taking Jamar Chase.
Did you get Larry Tunsil at some point, though? Or they traded him? Who did they trade? Who's protecting the left side right now, though? I thought they had drafted somebody last year.
For the Jets?
No, the Dolphins. Never mind. Keep going. We'll talk about it. I thought they had somebody for the left side, but no, it's all good. That's a great pickup, no matter what happens, Rob. Keep going. You're good.
No, it don't matter. You got to get more help on
that
line.
I know. That's tough. Yeah.
Another pick I don't want to see, the Falcons taking Jamar Chase at number four. But, you know, I mentioned this last week. If you're the Falcons, I think it's probably time to get rid of Julio Jones and that price tag that he has, and he can't stay healthy. I don't know. Andre and JQ, you all live in Atlanta. I don't know what the word on the street in Atlanta is. But at least if I'm a GM, you got to look at that closely, right? Here's a trade. We got Cincinnati trading back and picking up a second-round pick here, moving from 5 to 7. Detroit moves up to 5 and grabs Justin Fields from Ohio State here. Cincinnati trades back to 7. Say what?
So they would hate that. Detroit is a big city. Ann Arbor is about 25 miles from Detroit.
There you go.
It is.
Rob's had a cause of problems over there.
That'd be crazy.
Hey. And I didn't even finish. You know, I got Cincinnati taking Michael Parsons at number 7. And then guess what? In the second round, Cincinnati come back, get Joe Burrow some help on an offensive line from JQ's favorite school, Michigan. Jalen Mayfield, offensive tackle from Michigan. I didn't do that on purpose either. But, but hey.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
But, yeah, so. And then
they drafted
Cincinnati
Chris Perry back in the day.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and get Javon Holland, safety from Oregon, with that pick you get from Detroit in the trade there. Now, Carolina, Zach Wilson from BYU, Teddy Bridgewater, not so great of a year. Joe Brady, maybe Bridgewater is just a stopgap till he gets his quarterback. But I got him taking Zach Wilson from BYU here. But Joe Brady can run his offense as well. And they got Carolina coming back and getting him some receiver help in the second round, too. Mac Jones, Alabama, surprise here, too. Got Denver taking the quarterback. Drew Locke, you know, we're expecting a breakout year this year. Very shaky season, again, out of Drew Locke. And we know Denver has put together some really good wide receivers on that team right now. So got him taking Mac Jones at number 9. And here's a big surprise. Ooh. Dallas. Obviously, we still don't know what's happening with Zach Prescott right now, his health situation, contract situations. So until we know otherwise, got him taking Trey Lance, quarterback from North Dakota State here, at number 10. Jalen Waddle goes to the Giants at 11. And he can use some receiver help. San Francisco desperately needs some corner help. They're aging at that position. Caleb Farley, cornerback from Virginia Tech at 12. And the Chargers get Justin some help. We'll get Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida.
Great move.
And, yeah. And I'll skip around here a little bit and just look at some you know, we were talking about the Jets and Samuel Cosme, offensive tackle from Texas. Got Cleveland taking another wide receiver here. Kadarius Toney, speedster out of Florida. Odell Beckham situation. Is he going to return to Cleveland? Doesn't look like it. He's going to have to get him another weapon there in that offense. Got the Saints taking pass rusher from Penn State, Jason Owa. Saints got a situation here. Trey Hendrickson's a free agent. We don't know what's going to happen there. Obviously, you'd like to keep him, but we got to wait and see. And if they are able to keep Trey Hendrickson, Saints probably don't make this pick. Right now, a little bit of an unknown. So you got Jason Owa there at 28. You got Tampa Bay taking Najee Harris. Leonard Fournette is only signed for this season. So what's going to happen there with him in Tampa Bay? So you got to take Najee Harris there at 29. Yep.
That would be so nasty.
Is Seattle is Seattle and Arizona gonna be able to help themselves with this draft?
Well, you mentioned Seattle. Seattle don't have a first round pick. Obviously, the Jamal Adams trade. The Jets are getting that pick for him. Jets will be picking 23rd. Well, I have to think of Samuel Cosme, offensive tackle from Texas, but I do have Seattle. If you look at the last 8 games of the season, Russell Wilson hasn't had any type of protection. And so I haven't taken Deontay Brown, offensive guard from Alabama, to try to help improve that interior line in the second round. That's who I have Alabama taking. Then when you look at Arizona, defense played well, but I got to get more defense. Gregory Russo, edge rusher from Miami in the first round, and then they come back in the second round. And get Trayvon Morrick, safety from TCU.
Nice.
Yeah, those first 4 picks would be the worst possible outcome, I think, for the Bengals. To have Jamar Chase go and not have Justin Fields go and then not be able to steal Pre-Well from Oregon. That would be awful. And in that situation, I think they would trade back. I don't know if they would go defensive line, but I'm okay with that. Micah Parsons is a beast. I got to see him up close and personal. And if you look at anything like what Andy Reid did, and you can get enamored with the weapons that Andy Reid has assembled. You got to remember, they picked up Tyreek Hill on a discount because he punched his girlfriend. But Andy Reid is a build-from-the-trenches kind of coach, offensive line, defensive line. And a lot of your really successful teams do that. So if they go Micah Parsons in the first round and come behind it with the offensive line, you know, he goes to freaking Michigan – in the second round to try to solidify that, you know, you can't necessarily be mad at that. It's not sexy, but if you hit on those 2 guys, it's effective.
Yep. And Michael Parsons is going to be a linebacker that can play all over the field.
Yeah, they keep Carl Lawson and put Michael Parsons on the other side, and they already drafted a couple good linebackers last year. You know, you shore up that front. They got to spend some money in free agency, so we're going to see if anybody really wants to come live in Cincinnati. That's what it's going to come down to.
You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati.
Come on, Sam White.
Sam White is awesome. That's a good call. Look at Zob pulling it out. Hey, Rob, I'll give you credit for this draft because I know, much to the chagrin of JQ, that this draft actually makes sense. If you're thinking about what's happening with the teams, you obviously know Urban Meyer is going to go ahead and get Trevor Lawrence.
If you're the Jets, you know, you already have a quarterback. So, you know, again, you don't really need that quarterback. And if you're not trusting, you know, I don't think, you know, Gase, like you said, he's got pictures or something, man. I don't know how the dude had a job. So Slotkin's in there, and you get a wide receiver. They need a wide receiver. So that makes sense. We talked about Miami. They technically you're going to – there are some rumblings about, you know, Tua. But, again, just get some protection. And earlier I kind of would agree with you because the way that when the Falcons hired Arthur Smith, I thought that we would kind of go with Penei Sewell. That's the direction I thought we were going to go, honestly, whenever I was not mad at that. But if he goes three, now the question is the Falcons, like, are we going to get Justin Fields? And we don't really need a quarterback. Arthur Smith is like, eh. And listening to Terry Fontenot, he's like, we don't mind getting the best player available. And his best player, he's from Lake Charles. He's in LSU territory. We're going to get Ja'Marr Chase. If he's right there at four, and the Falcons are going to be nuts, but I've liked him, like I told you before. So now you just add another weapon, and then you just continue. You didn't tell me who the Falcons drafted in the second round, Rob. I didn't hear that second piece coming back around. Who did you have us taking in that second round, by the way?
Actually, a pretty good pick. Another guy I would hate to see, Carlos Basham, the edge rusher from Wake Forest, a guy that's really a first-round talent. Didn't really have the production that you would like to see, mm-hmm. but he's definitely have the ability there, and he's got the size that you like in the defensive end edge rusher and long arms. Definitely can have an impact on the game. Could probably still move back into the first round, but, you know, most of my mocks leading up to this, he's been a first rounder, but I got him going to the top of the second round right now.
So that's a good thing, because, again, we didn't forget.
Fondo, man. You got a Cajun name going to Atlanta, man. It's messed up.
I mean,
you
can
double team
and
do the Wake Forest. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's their best dude on defense. If he's at Wake Forest and that dude's that guy, I'm going to put two dudes over there and I might chip him with my back. That dude at Wake Forest ain't going to beat me. Now, everybody else on this Wake Forest line, you don't get your shot going on one. But that guy over there is not going to interrupt my game plan because I know he can. So it's a lot easier to neutralize him as, you know, with less talent than Wake Forest as opposed to if he had stacked talent across his defensive line with him.
You still got
one thing about Terry Fondo coming from the Saints. The Saints' philosophy has always been to draft the best player available. Even if it was somebody that they didn't need, that's always been their philosophy. So I'm sure
that's
he's going to take
that
same philosophy
part.
With him.
That's what he said. That's
well,
what he said. Yeah, because we're talking about.
I hope they get in Cincinnati. I hope they get that boy a lot more protection, and I hope they get a running game. I hope they get. I don't need that guy throwing 50 times a game. That's
agreed.
Not
that's
good
true.
For him.
Yeah,
oh, JQ gonna be.
They
gotta
do better than
Jalen
that.
Mayfield gonna have JQ wearing a big blue jersey.
Shit.
Like I said.
No chance on that, sir. you gotta take somebody from JK Anderson.
No.
Good lord. He's trying to make my blood pressure go up.
And Rob was like, he was when he was writing that draft, JQ, he was laughing the whole time when he was writing that. He was like, oh, I'm going to get
JQ. It wasn't even on purpose. It just failed that way.
It's both of them. I get one Penn State dude and one dude from Michigan. Two of my biggest rivals in our division. Like, oh, no.
Hey.
But it helps your squad.
They help your Bengals win the championship. You're going to love them, though. I know that.
Love him. I would have him in Michael Parsons' jersey.
Does Deshaun Watson get traded?
I think so.
Like
I think that situation in Houston, might be a little bit unresolvable. It's going to be interesting, you know. What teams are you going to be interested in making that phone call? Hey, do the Saints even try to kick the tires with them and see what
Saints
they can do with
too.
Them?
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be at least four or five teams having some kind of conversation with him. That's for sure.
He's going to the NFC, though. All that stuff about him going to the AFC, stop it. If I'm Houston, I would take a little less to keep that dude out of the AFC. I only got to see him in the Super Bowl and one out of every 4 years when we rotate the division play. I'm not putting a dude in there I might even have to play every year, depending on how the season falls. So I hear San Francisco. That would be a good get for San Francisco. That would be really, really bad.
Yep. And obviously, if you're Houston, you want a team that's got some high-end draft picks. So, really, you would like to get somebody that's in the top five to trade with you, or at worst, top ten. And so you want to get back up there in the high end of the draft to give you an opportunity to get another quarterback. I hear Zach Wilson is a guy they really like. You know, we'll see. But, you know, if you trade him, if you get that 12th pick from the 49ers, you're not going to get Zach Wilson. You're going to have to get a little higher than that. I mean, right now I have him going 8th to Carolina. So, you know, does Carolina get involved in the conversation? You know, who knows? Yeah. But I hear definitely
the 49ers
are picking up the phone.
NFC. Ain't going nowhere near
NFC. Shake you the NFC. Really quickly, good stuff, Rob. Good stuff on the draft. Last thing I'm going to say before Curtis kind of interjected, I know you got us picking that edge rusher out of Wake Forest. Keep an eye on what's going to happen with that another running back, too. I don't know how high it's going to go because I think we're going to try to get a running back somewhere, somehow, you know, whether it's Travis Etienne or something like that, too, as well for the Falcons, just to have a big back or whatever, too. So I'm not saying that.
The Falcons definitely need a running back, that's for sure. You know, it's obviously going to come down to value. You know, you might be able to get you look at a guy like Cam Akers came in, maybe contribute as a second rounder. You know, or do you get somebody in the later draft or look and see what's out there in the free agent market? Do you want to go get an old Mark Ingram?
He got released too as
you
well.
You can pick up Trey Sermon in the third or fourth round.
Is that the guy from North Carolina? Is that Trey Sermon? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, right?
No, it's Ohio State.
Trey Sermon's Ohio State. He got hurt, but he came on like gum busting with you this year.
That's right. I heard about him too. I can't think of the guy from North Carolina too. That's another name that I heard from as well too.
Yep.
Good stuff, man. Just want to say really quick before we let you guys talk on any topic because it's like 11:51. We want to get to the last couple things before we wrap up. We've got 9 minutes here. JQ, I'm not gonna like talk any junk, man. Just what the heck happened, man, with that comeback with the Warriors, man? Did they kind of like just skip up, man? You know what's going on, man? What happened with that?
It's good. I'm gonna tell you real quickly. I'm gonna tell you, if you gave Frank Vogel some truth serum, he probably would say, "I'm glad they lost because they was getting out of control. They betting on shots, you know, in between the game against Houston. Like they had gotten out of control. They was just wilding. Like I'm all for team chemistry and camaraderie and all that." They had gotten the big head. They was just wilding. Like, we can just come out here and play how we want to play, and we Teflon. And they found out, like the Clippers found out when they were up by 20 against the Warriors, that they still got Curry.
Right.
If you come out here and start messing around, you're going to lose.
Yep.
So Frank Vogel was probably like, now I can get their attention back because they was out there doing too much as a team on the court. So sometimes losses are important, and I just think that might be one of them. He might have their attention defensively again, and they're turning the ball over. But they get like that when they get a big lead because they just started trying to go Harlem Globetrotters on people, and the Warriors made them pay. So if you're Frank Vogel, you're like, yep, told you.
Yeah.
Well,
they can turn the ball over in the fourth quarter, too. They did get a little careless in the fourth quarter with the turnovers, and that allowed the Warriors to come back. And, you know, obviously, you know, Steph Curry had big shots as well. You know, watching that game, you know, even though I'm not a Warriors fan, one of the encouraging things I saw was how Draymond Green is coaching Wiseman, you know, on the defensive end. And, I mean, I thought that
was
pretty neat to see that. He was hard on him, too. But I thought that was good, you know, showing some great leadership skills. James Wiseman is definitely a true talent. And he's definitely got some potential there.
I saw that earlier this year. The Blazers went down, and they played them on a back-to-back. In the first game, the Blazers blew them out. And the Blazers were talking a little shit and got Draymond Green pissed off. These guys were yelling at each other and mad as hell. And then in that second game, Golden State whooped that ass on Portland like they stole something. Oh, man. But, the Portland Trail Blazers pissed them off. And that was earlier this year. And you saw that firepower. When they get ready, they can put it up on you. It's
they
amazing.
Got shots. That's all it is, man. They got to hit enough shots. It's all good.
Wow.
Gentlemen,
wow.
Man, look at Curtis coming hard. I love it. We got about 6 minutes in the show, gentlemen, so I'm going to give you some time to talk about whatever topic you want to talk about.
We'll go around the horn 2 minutes apiece, and then we'll let Rob wrap it up too, as always, man, because we're going to get to this show in. But let's let Rob, you can talk about a couple topics, you know, anything, 2 minutes, if you will. Same thing with UJQ Curtis, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, you know, I'll start with a couple of NBA topics. Number one, let's talk about the Nets. Let's talk about Kevin Durant and James Harden. My goodness, man, the numbers they've been putting up here the last couple of weeks here. And or last couple of games, I'm sorry. Unbelievable. Triple-double. I'm real curious. It looks like Kyrie Irving is going to be back tomorrow night. I'm really curious to see how well they gel with Kyrie Irving. And you almost wonder – if they need to put Kyrie Irving with the second unit and just to have some scoring coming off the bench and then maybe have them all on the floor at the end of the game together. But I'm real curious to see, because what you're seeing is Durant and Harden gelling already, right? I know it's two games, a small sample size, but you're seeing that those guys can play together. And they played together before with OKC, but unbelievable the ability that they've shown to play together early on. Going to be a very entertaining team. And I guess the question is, how far do they go now? I know JQ has been saying all along, they were number one even before Harden. And so, obviously, you know, they're going to be in the end of running there. You know, I had them going to the Eastern Conference Finals before Harden. But, hey, it's going to be real interesting. I still want to see how well they gel with Kyrie Irving. And because, you know, he may come in there and just ruin and mess up the whole thing. You know, right?
Hey, Mike.
Before I can say they're the favorite in the East, I still want to see how well they gel together. But you got to think they're going to be in the conversation, right? They're going to be in the running right there with, you know, I thought Philadelphia was playing outstanding before they had the COVID outbreak. So I think eventually they're going to come back around. And what Philadelphia have now, they do have some role players in place. The Danny Greens, they help hit the outside shots and create spacing on the floor a little bit better, which they didn't have on last year. So it's going to be really interesting. But I think you got to think Brooklyn. You got to think Philadelphia there. And then you still got an outside shot with Boston and Milwaukee there. Miami's been somewhat of a disappointment so far, but they've had a little bit of a COVID outbreak too. So maybe we'll see them come back around eventually. But the Nets and the Sixers are the two teams that I'm looking at right now still as the favorites in the Eastern Conference. And then tough blow for the Portland Trailblazers, losing McCollum and Nurkic as well. It looks like McCollum for at least 4 weeks and Nurkic for at least 6 weeks. So that's going to be a tough blow. It might be too much for them to overcome. To get back in the playoff race by the end of the year. So, I mean, that's definitely a tough blow there.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up. Let's just keep it brief here. Real excited that Chris Olave is returning. I hope it just doesn't keep, you know, the young guys saying they want to transfer. I hope they take the opportunity to learn from Olave, because he's really come on. I get his decision. There's so many good wide receivers coming out, especially in this first and second round. Come back, have a good year. Now you could be that guy in the next round. And the other piece, come on, Rooney Rule. Like, are we going to hire any brothers? Are we going to hire any brothers for real? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, all these openings, that's just so bad. I hate it. They're going to have to do something about it.
You got two among them, man.
Say what?
You got two among them.
Yeah, but you know
I'm
what
being
I mean, man. Like,
I'm being facetious. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have
messed up. Yeah, they just are making a mockery of it. They're just interviewing dudes. When the Jets freaking interview Marvin Lewis, I said, okay, they just checking the box. way was they gonna hire Marvin Lewis. Get out of here.
Eric the enemy. I don't get it. What's the deal? Eric the enemy.
I agree with that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why is he not getting the job? I mean, I know there's still some openings out there. You know, you still have Philadelphia that's open. Some openings out there, but Houston. I mean, so it's still not over,
Chargers.
But maybe they're waiting until after the season. You know, Eric, the Chiefs are still in it, but Eric's the enemy. Why is this man not a head coach?
No, the Chargers took the DC from the Rams.
That's right.
That's right. Gosh.
Yeah, and I thought Brian Daboll was going to get that job, but he didn't get that one. But it looked like the Rams are going after Raheem Morris as the defensive coordinator now.
Yep. Still.
Yeah,
hey,
I mean,
come on.
The NFL talks a lot more better stuff than that. And it's surprising they don't have a black coach. It is really kind of disappointing that they didn't go a route.
Hey.
Yeah.
Keep telling y'all this. The NFL is still the good old boy network.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and they talked
about that, Curtis?
Yeah, well, I just said the NFL has been talking the best game about Black Lives Matter, and it's a black sport. And they're failing in this realm of trying to equalize everything.
I don't think they've done a great job even with that. They're definitely nowhere near the way the NBA is pushing it.
Not even close.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because this is kind of a soapbox issue for me, because I know if you follow a couple of your pages like Stockaholic, and it's a shout out to them, but there's some people that are legitimately mad whenever the Falcons are only targeting like certain head coaches, and they're like making a point to say, well, we're gonna have to, let me get this person. I'm like, and I was literally gonna write in, because that's how pissed I was. Like, we've seen this story before. I mean, even if something goes wrong, give the dude at least 5 years. If it's a problem, he's got 5 years to figure it out, whatever, you know. But just give him a shot, you know. Obviously, we hired Arthur Smith, which I thought Eric Bieniemy was going to be a really good choice. That may have dealt with more of the offense, if you will, more than, you know, looking at Bieniemy. But I'm just, like you said, very disappointing, JQ, very disappointing, Rob, because you would think that, again, we've come a long way. And I know that Joe Judge is doing good, but you just figured, damn, can we just get something, you know. Anthony Lynn's gone. You're taking two steps back, as you talked about, too. So the enemy should and better have a job at some point, whether Houston, you know, obviously, you know, Salah, he is whatever it is, at least you got that. But then you see Urban ass Meyer coming in like, what the hell? You know, come on, man. Give us a shot, man. It's just very frustrating. So, you know.
Is Houston and Philly the only two open left? I believe they are. Are they the only two left?
Yeah.
I think so.
I got to check to see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chargers hired a guy, like you said. I thought they were opening, but yeah, they're not going that direction. Jacksonville got their guy. Detroit got their guy. Atlanta got their guy. So, you know, now it's just Philly and
Houston. I'm surprised the Chargers didn't go to offensive guy with the young quarterback. And that's kind of a surprise. You know, maybe you build something like what the Packers have with Aaron Rodgers. Oh, Andy Reid and Mahomes, you get an offensive guy with a star quarterback, possibly. Yeah, Herbert is looking like he's the real deal. Really surprised. I'm not sure they're going to hire his offensive coordinator, but, you know, really surprised they didn't go with an offensive head coach to pair with him.
And Detroit, they hired a dude that was never the coordinator. I think he was like the tight end coach or something like that, right? Like, he had never even been a coordinator, and he gets all the way to the head coach spot. The 132, like,
well, he was the
come on, man.
He was the assistant head coach for the Saints, actually. He wasn't a coordinator, but he was the assistant head coach.
I need somebody to call some plays or something so they know what kind of pressure it feels like. Like, I need that dude to have gone through that fire. That, you know, and he could be black. I would still be like, you know, I'm happy for him, but are they setting him up to fail because he's never been a coordinator? Does he really know on that level? And is he going to come in and then give it up? Like, that management of a game to that level? Like, okay.
And then he took Aaron Glenn with him. Aaron Glenn is going to be his defensive coordinator. I'm like, man, everybody raised
I thought he was going to be
Dan Campbell and Aaron. Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn going to Detroit, and I'll find those the Falcons. But,
hey, man.
You can't blame guys for getting promoted, though.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. Last thing I was going to say before we wrap this up, Rob, and wrap up the show, because we're already definitely in the OT portion, was, again, it's disappointing that they got rid of Lynn in the first place. I know the Chargers lost a lot of close games last year, but I don't think it warranted them getting rid of. He finally gets his quarterback, and then they're like, oh, you know, just literally kind of cut him. So I didn't think that was right by any means, too. So just not a good move by the Chargers. And, you know, I know we talk about that. The Chargers at the end of the show, too, JQ, but it's just – very, very disappointing for the Leafs, man. So just
Falcons hired a black GM, though. That's good to see.
Yeah, but then you see Washington go hire a dude that filled multiple towns in Carolina. You're like, how does he still get another job?
Brad Holmes.
That's that good old boy network, Ron Rivera. They're friends.
Yeah, but Ron knows better than that.
Brad Holmes in Detroit,
who?
Right?
Huh?
Brad Holmes or the Rams? He's a brother.
I can hear you.
Where did Brad Holmes go? I think he went to
Detroit. I can't remember. I heard he went somewhere.
Not sure.
He's a brother, though. That was good. I think he's with Detroit. But yeah, that's a brother, too. Good excitement. Like I said, we get excited about your things like that. Rob, we'll let you wrap up the show. And we'll let Jake get some sleep media as well, man. It's been a long time, but we appreciate you guys getting all those topics in on such a short night, too, on this great Tuesday, too, man. So I know we got a lot of things happening. But go ahead, Rob. We'll wrap this up, and we'll let the night end, if you will. Get ready for an artery. Hey.
Oh, yeah. Big day tomorrow. Big day tomorrow. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Thank you for tuning in late on this Tuesday night for our friends in L.A., New York, Portland, Atlanta, down here in Florida. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. Please write us, whether it's via Twitter, Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. You know, love to hear from you all. Join us again on next Tuesday night as well, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our friends in Honolulu, 5 p.m. That's going to be 5 p.m. for you all on Tuesday night. Good night, people. We'll get you caught up with Championship Sunday. We'll get you prepared for the Super Bowl on next week. And we'll be right back at you. National Signing
Absolutely.
Day tomorrow, people.
Yes, sir. Love y'all, good people. Holler at y'all next week. Hope we have a really good Super Bowl matchup to talk to y'all about. And not a whole lot of NBA COVID. Holler at you.
And I appreciate everybody's prayers for me and Jerry out here in the West. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir, man.
We're the six people out here.
Much prayers and God to Jerry, too.
No. Hang in there, fight, bro.
You hang in there, fight. The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, the Green Bay Packers. Get there, you know. I thought you were gonna do that.
The
Rob.
Chicago Bears. Yeah. Oh yeah. Gotta love it.
That's classic.
Yep. Classic.
Oh man, we actually have it actually happening this weekend too. So again, we appreciate you guys in, and get some rest, gentlemen. Till the next time, Curtis, keep the fight up, man, as always. And again, have a great, great week, man. I'm looking forward to watching these games this weekend, guys. And we'll see how this week unfolds with the some NFL talk, too, as well, man. So we hope to get that black coach. You know, hopefully Eric Bieniemy gets his job for Houston. Man, fingers crossed as always, man. So great, great times, guys. Have a great unless you have anything else to say, I'm signing off for sure, okay?
Eric Bieniemy might be the only guy that can keep Deshaun Watson in Houston.
That's the only guy.
Yeah. Good call. All right, guys. Have a great, great, great night. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, y'all.
Stay safe. Wash your hands.
Later. And your ass.